Hola.
Hello, this call is being translated.
Abuela, listen to what my phone can do.
Abuela, escucha lo que mi teléfono puede hacer.
Wow, ahora dime sobre tu novia nueva.
Wow, now tell me about this new girlfriend.
Huh?
Tú sabes lo que dije.
You know what I said.
Language is no longer a barrier, thanks to Live Translate with Galaxy AI on Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra. Learn more at Samsung.com. Samsung account login required. Calls must be made using the native Samsung dialer.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Stop punishing yourself with bland, chalky protein shakes and fuel your fitness with the best protein in the game at GNC. We've got the hottest brands and flavors that legit taste like cookies, your favorite cereal, indulgent desserts, and more. It's on at GNC.
Yeah. Yo, what do you want? Beak or jaws? Feathers or fur? Sharp teeth or feet with claws? Whatever's preferred. They'll grant you all last requests to steady your nerves. Then podcast the body parts get severed and served. Bring your weak shit where the wolf and owl are. That ain't just a mistake, that's an awful howler. Both of them are known to pull up at your shows. Have the crowd witnessing a murder like they rolled in with a gang of crows. Fuck the censorship, let them see the whole thing. They stay dressed to kill, never sheep's clothing. Dark enough to turn the sun to the moon. You'll see nothing, all you hear is a huff a puff. Expect killings, red spilling and flesh ripping. Impressive in it, the death bringing his head spinning. Just kidding, every word in his song's about two grown men dressed up as a bird and a dog.
Welcome to the Wolf and the Owl podcast.
Wow. Right. You went so deep in there. Mm. My earphones went all fuzzy.
Yeah.
That was incredible,
yeah.
Bro.
Yeah.
You're like a sort of 80s cartoon hero.
Thank you.
Who just found the sort of forbidden planet or something.
Speaking of 80s cartoon hero, have you seen that they've rebooted He-Man?
No.
There's a trailer. It's coming out on Netflix very soon. Mate, were you a He-Man fan?
Massive He-Man fan.
Right. You are going to lose your shit, bro. They've done a new, it looks like a manga cartoon. Mate, the animation's sick. Orko's in it. Man at Arms is in it. Skeletor, Castle Grayskull, all that shit. Battle Cat. Everything.
She-Ra?
No.
She-Ra was his girlfriend.
Well, I don't know. First of all, I think She-Ra was his sister or his cousin.
All right. I almost thought they were girlfriend and boyfriend.
Yeah. They've slightly adapted the hairstyle because that hairstyle even then was shit. But it looks amazing.
Oh yeah, but I always respected him for that hairstyle.
Why?
I'm honest with you. I just thought, like, despite everything, he still kept on to that. That hairstyle probably made him who he was. Probably, he had those muscles.
What made him what he was was the magical sword that gave him superhuman strength. But we can say it's surviving school with a bob, if you like.
No, but if you think about it, right, logically, right?
Okay.
He was just a doofus.
This is going to be a new thing for you.
Right, he's like a doofus with a bad haircut, right? And a pair of leggings or jeggings, right? Finds that sword
tights.
And it changes him. Yeah, tights.
Yeah.
Right? You think about it, he wouldn't have even gone looking for that sword if he didn't have a bad haircut.
Well, I don't know what the origin story is for He-Man. Does he find the sword?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a bit like based on Arthur when Arthur found it in the lake. King Arthur, I mean, just in case.
No, I know what you mean.
I just think...
King Arthur found it in a lake?
Yeah.
So what's the sword in the stone then?
Oh, no, he got it late. He found it in the stone. And something about Lady Guinevere in the lake as well.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I'm sort of...
I think he threw the sword in the lake because it was
he
too
He pulled
much,
the sword out of the stone and then threw it into a lake. And everybody else that had tried to get out of the stone were just like, are you fucking joking? We've been trying to get that out for weeks. People have been turning up here.
Anyone with a great sword through history is really, you've got to have a lot about you to have a hot sword. And I actually think probably He-Man... I'm going to see what this new haircut's all about, but that might be the bit that breaks, the straw that breaks the horse's back for me.
Okay. First of all, the saying is camel. Secondly, if the massive improvements they've made to He-Man are ruined for you because they've slightly changed his hairstyle, then that's on you. Okay.
Is it an adult cartoon now, or is it like for kids, or is it for both?
I reckon. Well, in the trailer, it says after 40 years. So I reckon it's aimed at like sad fucks like you and me, basically.
Oh, man. I'm just going to kick back. I'm going to get a Domino's double decadence for that.
What is a double decadence?
Just the best pizza that's ever been invented. Hold
on. Is this the one where there's like a cheese, like it's like a double layer of pizza and there's cheese in between, right?
Bechamel cheese sauce. Like, honestly, let me tell you now, there's three boys who live in your house who would love it, mate, and probably Elisa. You couldn't have it because it's not vegan, but it is incredible. It is.
Well, it's interesting you say that, Tom, because week before last, we got, there's a guy, I can't remember the name of the company, they operate in Crawley, and it's basically a mobile pizza oven. And you order, they turn up and park up just outside your house, and then they make the pizzas in front of you. So they turn up, 10 minutes later, they just give you a load of boxes. I don't know, I'm going to explain it in this much detail. But they're traditional, you know, traditional middle-class pizzas, right? You know what I mean? Like
Posh pizzas.
Posh pizzas, they haven't got a hot dog running through the crust. Yeah, all that shit.
Yeah.
Mate, delightful. Absolutely delightful. Now, as soon as I've said that, your face has gone all funny. Because you don't like pizzas unless they've got ice cream injected into the dough or whatever.
No, listen, I make pizzas at home and I've got a pizza oven. I'm not going to lie.
So you've got a pizza oven. So when did you buy this pizza oven?
I've had this pizza oven for probably before last lockdown. So I've had it about 3 years.
That's okay. Right. Now, I'm going to give you credit there. Can you tell I'm a bit hyper? I've really, I'm a bit hyper.
Yeah, it's like you've had an espresso or something before you.
Do you know what? I've just had a... Anyway, it doesn't matter. I haven't had any
fun. Diet Coke?
Yeah, it is a Diet Coke. I think it's a Diet Coke that's done it to me.
Yeah.
Anyway, 3 years ago, I think, is pre it being sort of cool. I think that shows a level of dedication because in the last year, loads of people I know have got them.
Yeah, I love outdoor cooking. So let me tell you, I mastered pizzas. I got to a place where actually I was able to sort of knock together something pretty decent. That said, if I was walking down the street and I saw like original Stone Bates pizzas or a double decadence from Domino's, there would be no competition for me.
Yeah, because you've got a pizza oven at home.
No, but the double decadence is up there with the best foods ever invented.
Oh,
it's honestly incredible.
What's so incredible about it?
Just that extra layer of cheese. Honestly, I sit and I eat it and I marvel at who came up with it. Obviously, I thought when stuffed crust came out, I was like, fucking hell, someone there.
So is this better than stuffed crust?
Yeah, a million times.
It's like, basically... I've become slightly addicted to TikTok recently, and there's a lot of Domino's TikToks, right? And they showed how to make that double decadence. And it looks like a really thin layer of cheese, like in between the thing, whereas a stuffed crust is like a proper thick ring of it, right?
Yeah, but I don't know, that extra layer of cheese. I thought it was a bechamel sauce. I think the first time they came out, there was more of a sort of saucy sort of...
Right.
There was more of a cheesy. There was a more of a moist sort of like a layer of moisture between the two. Mm. I don't want to know how to make it, by the way. Like, it, you know those things where you just that's just fine, man. That's someone else's fucking magic
I reckon if you figured out how to make it, there'd be like a documentary about you in about 6 months, and they'd have to cut you out of your house. Just because if you were able to access something that you like that much, so you know when you taste something really delicious.
Oh.
I think to myself, for my own safety, I have to not know how to recreate.
Do you not
this.
Rinse it though? Do I rinse it? That's what I'm really comfortable.
No, but you have to try not to, man. Because, well, do you know what? Actually, if you do rinse it, you then become a bit sick of it, and actually, in a way, you do anaesthetize yourself from that.
Like now, I know that double decadence is out. I don't know how long for. I don't genuinely. If anyone is at Domino's, please. Beg you and urge you to get in touch to say just what the time frame is. I'll probably have one every other week. Right. It's like when me and Jamie.
I don't think that's that excessive.
No. Me and Jamie got obsessed with Wingmans.
Yeah, I know. You had it all over Instagram because you're trying to get some sort of fucking deal.
Obsessed with it. Still obsessed with it because I haven't had it now for like a month and a half.
Mm.
So I've just sort of now I look forward to sort of like dipping my toe back into that, sort of, you know, walking in the restaurant, high fiving and just, it's just exciting.
You know, sometimes when something gives you an image, as you said, dipping my toe in, in my head was just you in swimming trunks dipping your toe into like a bucket of barbecue sauce.
What sort of trunks was I wearing?
You were actually wearing Speedos, like proper trunks, like not shorts.
Yeah. That's the most indignified look, isn't it? Like Speedos on a man of our age.
Yeah.
On a certain man of our age.
So, Tom, we've got a little bit of an unusual situation here on the podcast. Yeah. Because for the first time, we've been together. I mean, I know we've been together, but we've now been together. Actually, this did happen with the donuts when we met up the other day. But I don't know how we tell the wolf and owl pack about what happened. Because normally what happens is we convey what's happened by talking to each other.
Yeah.
So now you and I both know what happened. We're going to be delivering it like radio hosts or some shit.
Yeah, which is always eggy, isn't it? Why don't I play someone who doesn't know what's happened?
Okay. Who are you going to be?
I will be Graham Sydenham, who's your new postman.
Okay, I wouldn't talk to my I wouldn't tell this story to my postman.
Okay, who would you tell the story to?
Could you be like one of the other dads from the kids' school?
Okay, I am Walt Krausner, who is one of Theo's best friend's dads.
One of Theo's best friend's dads. Okay, fine.
Yeah. Hi, Ramesh. I'm Walt Krausner.
I know who you are,
man. Oh, really? Oh.
You don't know, just so you know. Just so you know, it's quite irritating that you introduce yourself by your full name every time I see you. I mean, our kids have been best friends for 3 years now, so.
Yeah.
You don't have to keep saying I'm Walt Krausner.
Theo is turning into an absolute gentleman of a man.
Yeah.
He's got a bright future in front of
him. Well, can I say the same about Amadeus?
Yes, he is.
He really is showing some promise. I think he's really overcome the stigma of that blacking up incident at the school panto from 2 years ago.
Well, yes. Well, you give a kid a big name, he's got big shoes to fill.
Yeah.
That's my motto in life.
Absolutely, yeah.
Anyway, a little birdie told me that you've been busy this weekend.
Yeah, well, I went to watch England-Scotland at Wembley. I went to the game.
Oh, who did you go with?
I went with a workmate, Tom Davis.
Yes. He's very funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just thinking about something he said.
What is it? What is it he said that you're chuckling at there?
Oh, I don't know. Something along the lines of something. Anyway, how was it? The game was dreadful, wasn't it?
The game was dreadful. I had a really nice time with Tom.
I'm sure if he was here, he'd say to everyone he had an amazing time with you and he respects you and loves you as a human being.
Okay. That's a really weird thing to say if you don't know what we say, Walt. Bear in mind, you don't know Tom, you've never met him. But I'm going to say to you, basically, in London, we were in London. I was in London during the day.
Yeah.
And there were loads of Scottish fans. This has been massively, you know, heavily reported. Me and Tom we were in Soho. Tom was in an edit. I was doing a couple of meetings. And we both got a car over to Wembley. And the car pulled up at a bar that was full of Scottish fans. Now, ordinarily, I would have got nervous about that situation just based on how leery the Scottish fans have been. But actually, I've got to say, we got out the car. They were banging on the windows, but like chanting our names and shouting and waving and just being absolutely sound. And a couple of them came out, asked for a photo. And even though they were clearly hammered, they were great. And then...
Yeah.
Tom and I walked away to go and meet up with the people that sorted out the tickets. Thank you very much to Adidas London for hooking us up with the tickets. Very grateful.
Yes. Tom would also, I'm sure if he was here, say thanks to Adidas London who put on an amazing spread.
They did, actually. So thanks to Gil and Laura for hooking all that up. Anyway, we met up with the people that we were going to be going into the game with. And as I was chatting to Tom and a couple of other people, bearing in mind, I've just been introduced to these people. I mean, a couple of them we knew, but... most of them I met for the first time. A bloke is walking past and he stops and he goes, Ramesh Ranganathan. And I go, yeah. And he goes, oh my God. He calls his mates back. Oh my God, Ramesh, this is Ramesh. Ramesh is here. Ramesh is here. And then what followed, I would say, is one of the worst interactions I've ever had with a member of the public. Like,
I think if Tom was here, he'd say it was one of the worst interactions that he'd ever witnessed. It was awful.
The guy basically started telling me I was shit. Started telling me I was not funny. One of his mates asked to have a photo taken with me. He started putting his finger up at me to try and block the photo as I was taking a photo with his mate. Bearing in mind, I hadn't even fucking made eye contact with this geezer. He had walked past me, stopped, got excited, called his mates back, and then proceeded to basically roast me in front of all these people. And then I just made the decision to walk away. Tom and I walk away, and he continued to shout abuse at me as I walked down the road. I mean, it was absolutely incredible. I had, bearing in mind, all the stories from the weekend were about Scotland fans. That guy was head and shoulders the worst person I saw at the football and the worst person I've ever met in terms of the short cameo he had in my life. It was absolutely fucking dreadful. And I just want to take this opportunity, Walt, just because I actually do have my microphone on here, because I am actually recording this for my podcast. I would just like to say to that bloke, if you happen to be listening by any chance to this podcast, maybe seeing, oh, I wonder if I was a bit off key, I just want to say to you, you were a fucking weapons grade bellend. And I want you to know, I think you're a prick. Tom thinks you're a prick. And I imagine all the people that you're with thought you're a prick as well.
Tom's here now. She just walked over.
No, Tom often does just drop into the school.
Well, yeah, I'm just here to see how Charlie's getting on, really. I would like to reiterate, actually. I would say, number one, I think the Scottish fans were genuinely... I think everyone we encountered from the Scottish fans, I thought were absolute...
Mate, they were like, quality. Legends. Quality.
For me, for the moment I got on the train in the morning, I was sat with a load of Scottish fans. They were absolutely incredible. Like, you know, the great party atmosphere that they brought down. And what I really found really upsetting was 90% of England, well, 95% of England fans that we met that day were amazing. Yeah, they were lovely. Most people were incredible, and it was a real nice thing after me and you talked.
When we were at the game, people coming up to us who wanted photos or whatever, they were so polite. It was like apologising for interrupting your evening.
But that one guy was just toxic, like a toxic human being.
Mate,
and genuinely, I would say one of the most... Just a nasty, horrible piece of work. And, you know, I think in every situation in life, I guarantee that there's just a string of people that felt very much like you felt, or very much like felt like the group. He wasn't just joking. He was very aggressive with his mannerism.
I would say, if you're listening to this, like, you know, people listening to me telling this story, I don't think I'm exaggerating when... If he'd have started on me, it wouldn't have looked like a massive escalation from the way he was interacting me. It looked like it could have turned into a fight. It was mad.
Thought the weirdest thing was just after that, the police stopped us.
Oh, mate, that was great. I think they might have seen that maybe and thought we were like hammered or something. Because this police van pulled up and they basically just started chatting to us. I think what they were doing is just checking how calm people were, like around the ground or whatever.
Yeah,
maybe.
But it was a very strange interaction. Also, what I found really weird was me and you had been waiting for like about fucking 15 minutes for a light to change.
Green man appeared, police van pulls up. I thought, okay,
you can say what you want about the wall for now, but we will not jaywalk.
Oh, absolutely not.
Where we say about people asking for photos, I haven't actually spoke to you about this yet. There was a really nice, really lovely bunch of blokes who were on the table next to us at the football. Yeah. Actually, one of them was an ex-footballer himself, played for England, Seth Johnson. Shout out, Seth Johnson.
Hola.
Hello, this call is being translated.
Abuela, listen to what my phone can do.
Abuela, escucha lo que mi teléfono puede hacer.
Wow, ahora dime sobre tu novia nueva.
Wow, now tell me about this new girlfriend.
Huh?
Tú sabes lo que dije.
You know what I said.
Language is no longer a barrier thanks to Live Translate with Galaxy AI on Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra. Learn more at Samsung.com. Samsung account login required. Calls must be made using the native Samsung dialer.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Thomas's.
Thomas's presents Pondering the Bagel with Tom.
Oh, the paradox of the bagel. Tis crunchy yet soft. Tis filling yet has a hole. Tis a vehicle for spreads, but only travels from toaster to plate. Thomas's. Huzzah! A toast to breakfast.
And there was one guy in particular who was genuinely absolutely lovely. He was such a nice guy. He was really chatty. And at the end of the evening, he turned around to me. He said, oh, you know, it's been great meeting you and Ramesh. It really has. You know, it's really great chatting. So he said, actually, I've got a funny story about you. And I said, oh, really? Oh, right. And he went, yeah, we were at the karaoke bar recently. And there was a woman leathered and she started singing your song. And I was, that very moment, I was like, your song, as in Elton John, your song.
Oh my
God. And then he went, yeah, she was so smashed out of her head. And she was like, what's the song? He goes, we're only human after all. So don't put your blame on me.
Hold on. Please tell me this isn't what I think it is.
No, this is what you think it is, right? So I stood there and me and you had an amazing day with Ramesh. We'd had a real good drink. We'd had a
laugh. Mate, it was quality. It was so good.
I'm standing with this guy who's been lovely to me. I've done about four or five photos, done a video message for his daughter. I'm standing with him and I went, sorry. And he went, and we were all like, because we love that song. We love all your stuff. And I'm like, he thinks I'm Rag and Bone Man. He thinks he has got a video message for his daughter and pictures of him at the football with Ramesh Ranganathan and Rag and Bone Man, right? So I stood there and I didn't want to say anything to him. Like, genuinely, in that sort of scenario, and I think Ramesh, yeah, I'm very much a people. He was so lovely. I was like, I'm not going
to turn. I've done the same thing. I've pretended to be Richard Iwade to some, but like some bloke in the past.
But and also shout out Rag and Bone Man, a lovely geezer.
Yeah, we love
very,
him.
Very
mate.
Sweet.
Yeah, he's a top bloke.
An absolute G. Very nice to be caught. But I felt that really awkward not to turn around to him, and because also I'm thinking, this is going to be really, really bad when you go home and you sit with all your family and go, well, yeah, that's Ramesh. And then we met Rag and Bone Man. And everyone's going, that's not Rag and Bone Man. That's someone else completely, right? But I didn't know really what to say. And then someone tweeted me and you on Saturday, tweeted me and you saying, Ramesh and Tom, thanks for being lovely. Also, apologies for Steve, who thought Tom was Rag and Bone Man. And if you look, I'll put them up. But the pictures, this guy, and he was so into. I felt so bad that I wasn't Rag and Bone Man because he clearly was a massive fan.
Yeah,
and also he was asking how I was talking to him. He was a brickie. He was a bricklayer. So I was telling him that I used to work on building sites. He was like, I never knew that about you. So I hope now that he knows that it's not Rag and Bone Man, because otherwise he's going to go around telling people that Rag and Bone Man used to work on building sites. It was a very strange. So, what would you? Is the right thing, right, to pretend that you're
100%. If you've had a conversation with somebody and they think you're someone else, my policy is always to continue pretending that, because I do not want to have the conversation where
it's embarrassing for everyone involved.
It's so embarrassing, and it's happened once where the person realised mid conversation, and it was so awkward and horrific that if they think I'm someone else, I'm just happy to pretend that I'm that person. It's just like...
I feel so bad because he was obviously such a big Rag and Bone. I genuinely hope if there's... You know, like, you hope of people ending up together. I sincerely hope that this guy, Steve, I believe his name was, bumps into Rag and Bone Man. I'd love to make that happen, that he could meet Rag and Bone Man, because he's clearly a big fan.
Well, he can't be that big a fan. He thought you were him.
Yeah, I think it's his dulcet tones, maybe. I mean... But also, I found it was a splendid display of just being around people was nice again, wasn't it?
Mm. Oh, mate, it was great. And by the way, I loved spending the evening with you, my brother. It was great.
One of my only bits I was slightly upset about is the streaking, because you did agree with me.
First of all, I didn't agree. I just said for a joke that I would streak if England didn't win the game, and then you posted it on Instagram.
No, but also everyone at the table next to us thought you were going to
shoot. Well, we were there, as we said, we were there with Adidas, and Adidas started to panic that one of their guests was going to end up streaking. But I never intended to do that.
Moment of the night, I remember you looking at me like I was an absolute don when Kieran Trippier looked around and sort of...
No, I didn't. I did not look at you like you're an absolute don. What I saw, we were sat by the subs behind the... like the bench or whatever, the thirsty way that you called out to Kieran Trippier was, I mean, looked across at me like I should, like I should be impressed by you going, "Hey, mate, mate, do you remember? Yeah, all right, go on. I don't know what you said to
him. I just went like that. Key, Kieran, like that. He turned around. I do know him vaguly. And he
what's been your
I've done soccer aim with him.
Right.
I mean, he's part of the soccer aim family.
Yeah.
He was just sort of, he gave me a knowing look. I was gutted he didn't get on because I think he, yeah. I mean, to be fair, what that game didn't need was another defender, but.
I mean, it wasn't a great game, was it?
No. I mean, I don't want to get into all of it now. I just think.
Well, have you been all depressed about it?
I have been quite down about it. I think I had such high hopes. I mean, what am I thinking? Fucking England's always going to be this way, isn't it? Actually, do you know what I have been depressed about since fucking that day?
Mm.
This piece of fucking shit.
Yeah, what's going on with your phone?
I've got ghosting on my phone. Have you ever had that ghost screen? Right. It's basically where the screen works without you controlling what it's doing. So basically...
Oh, what? It starts tapping in buttons and shit. I have had that. Like when you're doing a text message, it starts adding letters and stuff.
Yeah. So after fucking the game, obviously I was a bit merry, got in the car to go home.
Mm.
Didn't try. Let me just throw that out. And then I start looking through people's, you know, Insta stories, just scrolling through that.
Yeah.
And one Insta story comes up and I thought, oh, yeah, I'll just reply quickly to this geezer I know. He put something quite funny up.
Is it Trippier?
No, it was a Kieran Trippier. No, he came on the thing.
Great to see you. Great to see you again, mate.
I can't believe you didn't get on. What's going on, mate? Good luck Tuesday. And out of nowhere, it's like I pressed whatever I was writing. I'd written BA, and then it clicked and went babe, something babe, and then it sent without me. The button was sending before I could even like keep up.
What an elaborate story this is to try and overcome the fact that you got drunk, you got in a car, you thought it'd be funny to say babe, then you regretted it, and now your phone's ghosting. That's the story.
No, mate, it's happened to about three or four different scenarios. It's just like it's just going all over the place. At first I got so paranoid that someone had hacked into my phone and that's what they were trying to do.
Oh, you thought you were watching like a hacker on your phone?
Yeah. But yeah, when it went into Moonpig, I realised unless they were just going to send loads of people Christmas and birthday cards, it probably wasn't that. And also, I mean, I think the biggest thing that came out the other night was Uber ratings.
So, what is your Uber? We started talking about Uber ratings. Was Uber ratings something you're aware of before? I know that we're all aware of the driver Uber ratings. Were you aware of that you have an Uber?
Yeah, so I didn't realise how important it was when it came to Ubers until your car pulled up and my car pulled up.
Well, so this is my story on Uber ratings. I, for a long time, was 5, right? 5-star passenger, okay? And I've taken a lot of Uber journeys and I was proud of that. And what that means is if you've got a high rating, you'll get a car quicker because they think this person's like low maintenance or whatever, right? And then I went to LA where the Uber system is like different. You've got all sorts. And I think maybe the tipping system was different. Anyway, it fucking absolutely smashed my Uber rating to pieces. And
what
so
did you
then,
go down to?
I think I went down to like maybe like 4.5 or something like that. So then I was like, so the average is 4.7. So if you're below 4.7, you're looking at a situation where drivers, I think, if there's any Uber drivers that listen to this, can you clarify whether I'm being right on this, right? So I'm pretty sure that if you're below that, then it starts to be a thing where maybe Uber drivers start second guessing whether they're going to pick you up or not, right? So then I did a bit of research and looked into how to get your Uber rating back up. And I worked and I toiled. I was polite. I didn't slam doors. I always made sure I was there when the Uber arrived. And I have now got my rating through hard work and a level of expenditure on Uber that I don't really want to go into. I am now 4.88. That's 3 years later, right? Because I was in America 3 years ago, and that's when I got turned over. I've got it back to 4.88. I then asked Tom what his Uber rating was. And what are you on, Tom?
I'm on 4.65.
Right. So it's 4.65, which is up from... You must have had a great journey.
No, it's gone, it's gone down. I was 4.66.
Oh, shit. Okay, so it's gone down. Now, the saddest thing about it is that you actually... I mean, the number of things that you said that you do in an Uber. First of all, you talk to the bloke, the driver, for the whole journey.
For a lot of the journey, because I feel that they want to chat. So I'll have a chat with them.
This is my strategy.
I'm an affable guy.
This is my strategy. And again, Uber drivers get
into... I think we're in a sad fucking place in the world where you've got to get a strategy to get in a fucking car with someone. Like, you're like, this is a different spirit. I am such a free spirit. I get in. I mean, admittedly... Now I'm like, I do regret the fact that I often have food in the back of the car.
Yeah, so that's what a free spirit does. A free spirit takes smelly food in the back of someone else's car.
No, right, listen.
All right.
If I've got like an hour journey or an hour and a half journey, I'm like, mate, you are definitely stopping at McDonald's and you can have whatever you want.
Have you said to the Uber driver you can have whatever? Is that actually happened?
Yeah, I have. Of course I have. Do you want anything?
No, okay. I always ask. So that's very... those are two different things now. Right. So already your story has changed. Initially you made it out like you're fucking like Jay-Z. You pull up there, have whatever you want, mate. Then you change it to the half-ass, which we all know in reality means I don't want you to say yes to this. The half-ass, do you want anything? Right?
No. I would say, do you want anything? Have whatever you want. Have whatever you like. That's what I'd say. Okay. Have they ever taken
you up on it?
Yeah, I think I've bought a couple of drinks here and there.
Drinks?
Yeah, some chips, probably a hot apple. I think once upon a time, a hot apple pie.
Mm, okay.
Like, I've always, and then I'll eat my stuff. And, you know, sometimes I say, look, you know, pull over if you want. We can eat this together or, you know.
Okay, all of these things, if I was driving you, that when you say pull over, we can eat this together, that's a star gone. When you say, let's go to McDonald's and get you whatever you want, that's a star gone. Right. When you insist on talking to me the whole way, it's another star gone. So now, as far as I'm concerned, you're on two. Okay.
Yeah, but I.
And that's before we even get into, I assume you're farting in the car because that's just a part of nature. And you eulogized about farting and how important it was to you on the last episode.
Look, Rob, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to lie to anyone listening to this podcast. Have I ever farted in the back of an Uber or any kind of taxi? Of course I have.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet you have. I know you too well.
Yeah, but the difference between you and me is I'm sneaky about it, whereas I imagine you cock your leg and then say something like, check a bit of that out or something to the driver.
No, but look, I know you too. Yeah, you are a sneaky farter. I've been three or four times in your company where
You're
I know you farted.
You are such a prick.
You are such a sneaky farter. I'm a farter and I'm proud of it. I'll turn around and say, sorry, mate, I just let one go.
Right.
Yeah, I wouldn't say, I'll get a load of that. I'll go, mate, if you can smell saying that's my ass. I won't tell him that, like, I'm not like you. I'll go, oh, I wonder what that is.
I wouldn't even say anything. Like, I would just have my headphones on. And then the geezer would just, like, I guess, maybe not be sure if it was me or him.
He would know it's not him. So he knows it's you. Look, sometimes I blame Fields. I've gone, fucking cows stink, don't they?
Yeah. And he goes, we're in Soho, mate. So anyway, are you concerned enough about it to try and, like, are you going to do something about it?
Well, I mean, like, that means changing who I am as a person. I'll tell you what I'm going to do about it. I'm going to stop getting fucking Ubers. Because I don't want them to fucking review and rate me as a human being. A black cab, you get in a black cab, you're going to have a right good laugh with him. And then get out. And he's not going to go and, like, basically get on and go, oh, I didn't really like him for this reason. Well, you know, mate, you've got me money. That's enough. Just say, oh, nice one, mate. Cheers. Thank you for making a world turn. And that's it. You just go off on your way. Okay. I don't rate everyone who comes around here. I'm not on checker trade if a guy comes and fucks my garden fence. I just go, oh, I won't use him again.
Okay. I mean, you're reacting very angrily to this because I know why. It's because you think, because the idea that I would have a higher Uber rating, because in your head, the dynamic of us is you, friendly, salt of the earth, man of the people, and you love to put this thing across that I'm a prick and I'm a grumpy arsehole. And now
your grumpiness now is like everyone's like, oh, so I had that Romish in here. It was great because he didn't say anything. He ignored me the whole way. Rather than, I had Tom Davis in the other day. He brought me like a McFlurry and had a right laugh with him the whole way.
What you think is a right laugh? I'll have a chat with a guy at the beginning of the journey, right? And then I read it. After a little bit, I think, okay, I think this guy just is happy to crack on now. And then I just leave it.
Do you ever fall asleep? What's the situation of falling asleep?
I'll tell you this. I in an Uber, no. Not in an Uber, no. I won't fall asleep.
Why?
And I will not, I've never, and nor will I ever, eat in an Uber. Ever.
Why?
I just think eating in someone's car is such a big move, man. Like, when you go to eat in the car, do you ask permission?
Yeah, of course. I don't just pull over. I say, oh, mate, is it all right if I have some food? I don't
I just think it's almost, if you eat in someone's car, first of all, it will always smell, right? And even like, even when you take a takeaway in your car from the takeaway back to your house, you have to buy a new car sometimes because the smell stays in there.
Yeah, but also, what if you like the smell and someone gets in and goes, Big Macs? Or
I don't want somebody getting in my car and going, oh, that reminds me of Big Macs. That's not what I want my car to be, even if they enjoy that smell.
But you could also spray some like air freshener in about that.
Yeah, but that's a job you're giving the Uber driver. I'm sure you've not got a little fucking whiz away in your pocket
I've got some hand sanitizer.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe I'll just start in my bag carrying a little reel of those, jelly bean air fresheners.
I like those.
Yeah, they're so nice if you scratch them and sniff them. Really nice. Yeah, there we go. And that would actually make people like, oh, fucking hell, I feel a bit hungry.
Any Uber drivers can get in touch and let us know how to boost your Uber rating, Tom's really upset about it. So
I'm not. To be fair, I'm like that. If they don't like my custom and the way I am with people, I know for a fact.
Why are you getting all arsey?
I get in a black cab, and that's what they like. They like that chat. They like a bit of a laugh. I had a real laugh the other day with a black cab driver.
I'll be honest with you. I will actually chat to a black cab driver,
because they're connoisseurs of London.
No, but also I think I don't want to make a sweeping generalisation. In an Uber, they don't really want to chat. In a black cab, they almost always want to chat. It's a different vibe.
Yeah, but that's the difference between me and you, isn't it?
What do you mean?
That I'm just probably more comfortable in black cabs. You're more comfortable in an Ubers.
No, you are totally comfortable in an Uber. You're sitting there farting and asking them to get food for you. So you're comfortable. The problem is you don't like being starred down because you're too fucking comfortable.
Yeah, but...
Would you eat in a black cab?
Yeah. If I was going a long way... And I bet any money, black cab driver, you pulled into McDonald's, went, mate, have whatever you want. Mm. It's on me. He would go, oh, fucking hell, mate. I'll have go on then. Cheers, mate. That's nice, yeah. And he wouldn't then put a star rating.
Uber drivers, car, whatever. Can you let us know what the rules are about food? If this is offensive as I'm making out, or am I overreacting? Because I'll be honest with you, I'm happy to be called wrong on this.
Okay. Called wrong or called wrong?
Do you want that kept in?
Nah.
I'm joking. I'm joking.
Going for your first ever run around the park. Literally running errands all over town. Running for the finish line and your personal best. If you run, you're a runner. Find the shoes and clothes to run your way at newbalance.com/running. New Balance. Run your way.
Listen closely. As a master painter carefully brushes Benjamin Moore Regal Select down the seam of the wall. It's like poetry in motion. Benjamin Moore. See the love.
This episode is brought to you by Etsy. Sound the gifting panic alarm. You need to get an amazing gift. Wait, no, the perfect gift. Relax. Now you can use Gift Mode on Etsy. Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting, so you can find the perfect item for anyone and any occasion. It's easy. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com. Then answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like. And Gift Mode instantly gives you curated gift ideas based on hundreds of personas. Now it's simple to find gifts made by independent sellers for all the people in your life. So whether you need a housewarming gift for the new homeowner or a birthday present for the pickleballer, Gift Mode has you covered. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now.
I've got a real problem, Tom, that I want to talk to you about, mate.
Go.
My sleeping is just, it's gone to shit, bro. And like...
What, you're not sleeping?
I've just not slept. So basically, I started not looking at my phone an hour before bedtime, right? Put my phone to one side and not looking at an hour before bedtime. And it made a big difference, something about blue light and shit like that, right? And not being across social media. So fine, that was working. And then I fell out of that habit.
Yeah.
After we got back from the football, I got home at about, I reckon, 1 o'clock in the morning, right?
Right.
Straight to sleep. We had an early start the next morning because we were doing bits and pieces. And then I worked on Saturday, right? And then after I finished work about 4, I was sat in front of my laptop. I fell asleep in front of my laptop for about an hour, I would say, 45 minutes an hour. So that's 4 till 5, right? Then I had a gig last night. And then when I came home, I tried to go to sleep. And because I'd napped that late, I just couldn't go to sleep till 3 o'clock in the morning. And then I had to get up to go for Charlie's football. Basically, I need some sleep hygiene tips. I you know, it's called sleep hygiene, isn't it? Like habits of getting yourself to sleep. I am permanently, I cannot tell you the last time I wasn't exhausted, mate. Like it's...
Well, number one, you need to be a better friend to yourself.
What do you mean?
Fucking, well, you're working, you're burning it all angles. You're like, oh, this. Like genuinely, like, you know, as soon as you're... We talked about this the other day. Like, and I've been where you are. I literally, a month and a half ago, that's all I was doing. Work, work, work. I was doing so many different things, spinning so many different plates. Fucking, I was doing 3 podcasts. I was doing fucking the Redknapp show, King Gary, whatever. So many different things. Got to a point where all I was doing is fucking literally getting home, falling asleep for a bit on the sofa, then not sleeping. Then my anxiety kicks in. Then my paranoia kicks in, right? So your head's whirling. Because like you say, if you nap late, or you nap in front of this, you know, you wake up at 2 in the morning and you can't get back to sleep, whatever. I will say this, and this isn't me doing a half-assed, like, fucking pitch, but nature can do these fucking CPD night fucking tablets. They are fucking incredible. I'm not even, they are amazing. And I tell you what, they restore you as well. You feel like a million times better. This isn't an advert, this is, you know, but...
Yeah, because when you do adverts, you normally don't name the product or whatever, do you?
No. these are next level.
Okay.
For restoring, like, chilling your body, relaxing. You have one of them half an hour before bed, I guarantee you're getting a great night's sleep.
Okay. I've actually got some, so I'm going to have one before I go to bed.
What, the ones in the little black
thing?
You need to get on it, brother.
All right. Okay, I'm on it.
Because you've got a lot going on. And I can tell you're tired now.
How?
I could see in your face. I know your face too well.
What do you mean? Does my face look tired?
No, how you're holding your face.
What do you mean?
There's a tiredness to you.
You're making it sound like I've had a stroke or something. What do you mean?
No.
What's going on with my face?
You just look like a little bit less awake than you probably did 2 or 3 days ago.
Are you trying to avoid saying that my eyes droopier than normal?
No, I never say that. I never make any accent. You just look a bit tired. You look a bit weary.
Actually, this is the other thing that we've done today is we're doing this in the evening. That we've always said we're going to stop doing that, haven't we?
Yeah. But that's a killer.
Yeah.
The evening ones are always the worst.
Yeah.
If I'm honest with you, I feel tired.
Yeah. I can tell because the way your face is hanging off your skull doesn't feel nice, does it?
Mate, my eyes do look baggy.
Your eyes don't look baggy. I tell you what, though, your skin looks absolutely delightful.
I take a lot of care of my skin. I've got more skin on show than anyone else, haven't I? Think about it.
Oh, yeah, good point. What's your skincare regime?
I use like a sort of wash just to get rid of all the sort of like fucking spots and grease. I exercise, which is good for your skin. Drink lots of water. That's about it. Water is the key, boy. How much water do you drink a day?
I'm drinking a lot at the moment because Lisa keeps telling me that I don't drink enough water.
You're always drinking fizzy drinks.
What do you mean I'm always drinking fizzy drinks?
I always notice you've always got a can of fizzy drink.
No, I haven't. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you've got to be careful with them because there's some really, even the dark ones have got some really serious side effects.
What are you on about?
Fizzy drinks. I'm not going to go head to head with the fizzy drink companies. But there's some, you know.
No, but do I drink a lot of fizzy drinks?
Yeah, you like a fizzy drink, don't you? You like a Dr. Pepper or Coca-Cola, Pepsi.
I don't think I've had a Dr. Pepper in 10 years.
How often do you have fizzy drinks?
I'm going to level with you, but I think this is by coincidence that you've stumbled upon this. I do have a Diet Coke issue.
Yeah. And they're the worst ones.
Under control. Well, what a surprise. The one that I happen to have a problem with is the worst one out of all of them. No, go on, tell me why. Tell me why Diet Coke is worse than every other fizzy drink.
It's got some chemical in it, right, that makes it taste so delicious, but there's no sugar in it and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, aspartame.
Aspartame, which is really bad for eyesight and stuff. It can make you go blind if you drink too much of it.
Okay, don't say to somebody who's got very clear eye problems something like that.
No, right, I've got eye problems. But you need to look into stuff. You wouldn't get on a fucking spaceship and just go, oh, is this fucking... and not ask what the risks were, would you?
You're right, you're right. Getting on a spaceship is the same as having a Diet Coke. You're absolutely right. I'm such a fucking idiot.
No, but you're quite a risk-averse person. Do you know what I mean? Like, and all the stuff I know of you, you wouldn't just, like, jump on a jet ski without someone...
Tom, if I opened a Diet Coke, and then if you saw me open a can of Diet Coke, and you saw me say to someone, just before I take a sip of this, can I just get a full idea of what the risks are of this? What would you think?
No, I just think, look into it, mate.
And then the guy goes to me, there aren't, mate, it's a fizzy diet drink. I don't know what you mean. And then I say, well, I wouldn't get on a jet ski without checking the issues. And then he'll go, oh, yeah, that's a terrible example. And you're clearly a fucking moron.
No, right. What I'm trying to say, mate, is you've probably got more risk of dying from drinking too much fizzy drinks than you have on a jet ski.
Or yeah, obviously, because I've been on a jet ski once in my life.
Yeah.
So, it's such an insane thing to say.
Oh, I'm just saying, Joe, there's more to it than meets the eye. Why do you think Ronaldo's going toe-to-toe with Coca-Cola?
What, you mean Ronaldo that did a Coca-Cola advert? That Ronaldo?
Yeah, but why is he going toe-to-toe? Because he's realised that they're not actually the saints that they... Yeah, they're great at Christmas. I love the Christmas truck. I like it when the... Yeah, that's like, oh, Christmas is here. Christmas, you know, Santa Claus is coming, all that stuff. That's great. But you're playing free and easy, mate, with your health, and you've got to look into it.
Did WoW Hydrate tell you to say all this?
No. Actually, WoW Hydrate, let me just say, I didn't realise there was 97 calories in each one of those puppies. I was wondering why I wasn't losing any weight. I'm having like 3 or 4 a day. Like 400 calories in fucking WoW Hydrate. It's fine if you're a fucking sportsman who's fucking a boxer or a footballer, but like literally if you're just a normal bloke who's just doing an average workout, even 4 of them a day.
That Ronaldo thing was mad, wasn't it?
Yeah. I don't know where it comes from. I'd love to sit down and fucking break bread and ask him, but we'll have to leave that for another time.
Can I give a little skincare tip?
Go on.
Okay. There's a bit of a story to this. Not a great story, but a story nonetheless. Lisa and I, as you know, talked about this earlier in the podcast, many, many episodes ago. We got into Coach Trip.
Yeah. Right?
We're watching all the series of Coach Trip. And on one of the episodes of Coach Trip, there's a guy, Rafe. I think it's Rafe from Apprentice.
Oh, yeah. Great guy.
Super posh dude. Yeah,
dresses incredibly well.
Yeah. Amazing skin, right? Yeah. Amazing skin. Anyway, on one of the episodes, they're talking about like what they do to keep themselves looking nice. And he says, I use Umbrian clay, right, as a face mask thing. Immediately, Lisa and I go, I think we should get some of that because that geezer skin's like, great. We order the Umbrian clay. I'm going to tell you this now, mate. And it might be a placebo effect. Umbrian clay is a game changer. I'm telling you that now, right? You put it on your face, 5 minutes, you wash it off. I promise you, you will notice a difference immediately.
Is it like?
I haven't felt this passionate about something since I talked about tahine.
Wow. All
right? Wow. We'll put that out there.
And tahine, yeah? I mean, yeah, there was a real mixed crowd. I might try some of this Umbrian clay. Where do you get it from?
I can't remember. We just looked with Google.
Amazon?
Got it from. Yeah, I imagine Amazon would do it if you're a big Bezos fan. Get it from Amazon.
A big what?
Bezos.
Who's Bezos?
Jeff Bezos. Do you know who Jeff Bezos is?
No.
Owns Amazon.
Oh, all right. Fucking hell. He's going to be doing all right for himself.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He's doing all right for himself, yeah. Absolutely right, Tom. I'm surprised you don't get asked to be like the financial correspondent on the news shows more than you do.
Do you know what? I never even thought. I thought of like Amazon was like Tesco's or Asda. I didn't realise that there was one person owned it all. So
yeah, well, yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the Tesco and Asda ownership is.
one that enthralls me the most is it Puma and Adidas, two brothers that fell out and went head to head. There's a film in there somewhere, my friend.
Adi Dazzler, is it? And then what's his brother's called?
What?
That's the name of the guy who started Adidas, Adi Dazzler.
Is it really?
I'm pretty sure it is. Let me just look it up because I don't want to get...
Well, you've got to be careful.
...hugged off in the emails. Because what?
Well, you're a big Adidas face now.
Shut up. Yeah, Adolf Adi Dazzler.
What was his brother called?
His brother's called Rudolf.
What the fuck you called it Puma then?
Because... Who wants a fucking shoe called Rudolf? Rudy Das.
Yeah, but why Puma? I suppose Puma's the coolest animal that's ever existed.
Not true, but okay. Would you like to do some emails, Tom?
Let's do them, baby.
We've sort of overrun slightly. I haven't got time to do loads. Thank you once again to the wonderful Swan who selected the emails.
How's she feeling at the moment, Swan? How is she? Well,
how is the Swan? Oh, mate. I'm talking to you now. So, you know, I do these podcasts from bed at the moment.
Yeah.
For Father's Day, she got me a laptop desk.
Oh, wow.
As I'm talking to you now, there is nothing on me. There's like a little like wooden desk with legs on it. And
oh, nice.
She actually told me she's quite nervous about what my reaction was going to be to this present, but it might be one of the best gifts I've ever received.
Shout out to Swan.
Out to the Swan. Absolutely love you, darling.
Wow, that's a sweet little sentiment.
Well, it was just such a nice... It was very thoughtful. Okay.
Caring Swan.
Hello, Wolf, Alan, Swan. Firstly, thank you for getting us through lockdown. Me and my wife are avid listeners and are massive fans. Not just of this podcast, but both of your work and accomplishments. You've both made lockdown bearable with this podcast and your work on TV. Tom, Murder is Successful is what genuinely one of the funniest shows we've ever seen. And let me see what show of mine they refer... Oh, no, it goes on. We love your friendship and how you both compliment each other. So they've not... They've chosen for some reason not to single out any of my shows. So that's absolutely fine. I wonder why the Swans picked this one out. My question is this. Since you've become celebrities, have you had any bellends from school try to reconnect with you and only because of your fame? That is from Rob and Amanda.
Rob and Amanda. Actually, you know what? I know a couple called Rob and Amanda. Oh, that is them. They went right into it.
It'd be so funny if they themselves were the bellends.
No, they're
about
very
which
people.
They were asking the question.
Actually, two of my favourite people in the world. But anyway, listen.
As is everyone else on the planet. But anyway, go on.
You prick. Right. I have actually had this. I've had it on numerous occasions. I've had a lot of people who've got in contact asking for tickets to go and see Ramesh. Or various other people that they think I know, tickets for football games, FA Cup. The worst one I had, I think, was someone who I sort of knew, but he didn't just get in touch. I sort of knew him a bit, but he asked to borrow quite a lot of money. And I was like, you know, he put it on me quite, that he's in quite a sad point of his life. And I just thought, oh, this is, you know, I felt a lot.
Are we talking a lot of money?
At first it was, yeah. And then I sort of haggled with him of actually how much he needed and actually the problems the amount he's asking for, so felt quite excessive. And also, I didn't have that kind of money just sitting around just going, oh, I hope someone comes to me with a problem. But
you have to liquidate one of your properties.
Yeah. So he came, so in the end, I said, no, I can lend you this much money. And then he literally, I lent him the money, put it in his bank. He didn't get in contact with me. He's never subsequently never got back in contact with me. And I felt quite down about this. And I spoke to my dad about it. And he said, think about how much you would have paid to get him out of your life, because he was always trouble. And I thought, well, yeah, I'd have probably paid this. And he said, well, then you've got a deal. So let's say 500 quid.
Yeah, I've done that a couple of times. Where people have asked to borrow money. And like, you know, just random people on occasion. And you sort of think to yourself, well, if they're that desperate, I will do it. But you have to be prepared to write off the money.
But that's a sad thing as well, because since then, a couple of other people who are probably a little bit more, a bit kinder in nature and probably would have paid back. It has burnt a little. And it's made me, if I'm honest with you, there's a number of things that have happened to me in the last, and you know, we joked about the other night. I get on very well with people. I'm a people person. I've in the last probably 2-3 months, I've started actually going, yeah, you know what, maybe I need to reassess like how I go about treat, because I can sometimes treat people very well and I know I somehow get burnt. I'm out of pocket or I'm, you know, somehow that comes and bites me on the ass. It's a thing where I sort of try and always believe the best in people, or believe that people are doing it for the right reasons. You know, I've lent pet money to people, and then because of this situation, you think, then you find out it was not the thing that they said it was.
Yeah.
So
I would say, like, I don't really mind people. Like, I've obviously had, not obviously, sorry, that sounded a bit, but people have got in touch with me from school days. I haven't spoken to since school and got in touch and said hello, whatever. And I generally don't mind it. I mean, I'm not necessarily going to go meet up with them because we haven't seen each other since. I've got friends that I went to school with that we stayed friends. Yeah. And obviously I still see those guys. But, like, you know, people that I haven't spoken to since school, I'm not going to meet up with them now. But I do, like, you know, it's nice to catch up and whatever. The one thing I did have once was, like, I was doing a show abroad and my agent, got an email from this person that I was, like, I knew at uni. And they were like, oh, can you tell Ramesh that we live over there, and when he comes over, he should come say hello, and we'd love to take him out for dinner. And they were so horrible to me. You know,
really?
Like, so, mate, so horrible to me. Like, talked to me like I was shit, treated me dreadfully, like, was so, like, all of my recollections of interactions with them were fucking awful.
Like, your age?
Like, it was just, they were my age, but, like, they basically, there was this, like, social thing where they just thought they were better than me. Like, you know, it's not think they're better than me. You know, like, when you have, even at uni, there's like a hierarchy of like social groups or whatever.
Yeah.
And they just thought they were like, right, but they just thought they were same as school, really. They just thought they were a cut above. They're in the cool gang. And I was a bit of a, like, you know, just sort of considered me a bit of a twat, I guess, or something. I don't know. That, like, I remember it one time in particular, like, this person that emailed off the curb, like, did, like, basically in front of a load of people, just character assassinated me. Like, just, like, a proper monologue about what a prick I am and how I pretend to be a nice bloke and I'm not and blah, blah, blah. And that was, like, one of the last things I remember hearing from them. And then, you go off and, you know, you leave uni or whatever and go off and do your thing. The idea that they would then get in touch, I couldn't fucking believe it. I was like, I don't know where this has come from. Is this, like, a thing where you go, well, we did know each other and maybe he will know that was a long time ago, and so that doesn't mean anything. But if that doesn't mean anything, then us knowing each other doesn't mean anything. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're strangers. It was so weird. Like, I just couldn't get my head around it. Like, you know, sometimes there'll be an email going, oh, Ramesh is playing in my town and I used to go to school with him. And I'll message him back, you know, and, like, say hello to him after the show or whatever. But, and I get it, you know, that's one thing. But honestly, I couldn't believe it. I was just like, how can you not know that this was a weird thing to do? It's really blew my mind.
Clearly, you didn't go out for dinner with him. Did you respond, or you just did not respond? Or
no, I just left it.
Did they go to your gig? Or
do you know what? Because of COVID, the gig didn't happen. But it's due to happen at some point in the future, so we'll see, won't we? I'm not going to go to dinner with him.
No. It's just I think a lot of people like that. Like, it's, and I think probably a lot of people just forget that sort of side of things, don't they? They forget.
Yeah,
like,
maybe,
you know,
maybe.
And also,
maybe there is a possibility that maybe I was oversensitive. You know, it's possible that the way I remember it is not actually how it went. Do you know what I mean? You know, sometimes you can interpret things differently, or maybe they thought they were being funny in that instance. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe, like,
no, but the truth of the matter is, yeah, we all recollect. Everyone's going to have a different recollection of every event. But the very nature of people like that, if I'm honest with you, who, from any recollection I have of anyone at school who was in that hierarchy, or sort of, you know, I left school pretty early, sort of just in life was in that sort of cool group, still kind of believe that they're that person. They still, even as, doesn't matter where they've gone, and they probably still are, whether sector they work in, they probably still sort of walk around with that air of sort of, they don't give really a fuck about anyone, that they're that little bit better than everyone else. So the thought that at any one point no one's probably ever called out their behaviour and said, you know what, you made me feel like utter shit at this moment. Yeah. And if you did, they, you know, I don't know how people.
But then the other thing that you think is, like, there's probably people that think I'm a prick. Like, I probably treated somebody like shit from school. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, you don't know, do you? You have so many little interactions with people. Yeah, you just don't know what impact you make on people, do you?
Well, but I think that's the truth. Like, for everyone.
Yeah.
Most of us are bumbling through life, trying to get a fix on, especially when you're younger, trying to get a fix on who you are, what you're about, where you're headed, where you've been, yeah. And you're just trying to, and of course, you it's never always going to be a steady pond. You're sometimes going to knock into people, and that incident will have a different repercussion for you or a different repercussion for someone else. And yeah, I get on with 90% of people I meet. But I don't get on, I'm not a fucking, I don't just walk around like a fucking Labrador with fucking two dicks. At times, I'm fucking, exactly. At times.
You're not, so you're absolutely, and you know, you're not one of these people that just apropos of like one interaction says, oh, you're one of my favourite people ever, or we should go out for a beer or anything. Everybody knows that you're not that guy. You don't give away your friendship easily like that. You know what I mean? You wouldn't, for example, just offer to go out for a drink with someone you've never met and has just sent you an email, for example. Do you know what I mean? We know that.
But this is what I'm saying. Yeah. This is what we all have to, you know, maybe growth is change and change is good. Or maybe we all say the same. Yeah.
Or any other cliche that's completely unconnected to what we were talking about. Okay. This next email is from Tom.
Wow. A name alike.
Hi all. Hope the email finds you all well. Really enjoy the pod. I just had a quick question about cyclists. Now, I don't mean to give a big sweeping blanket statement because, as with everything, not all are the same. I don't mind a cyclist. I think it's a good, clean, efficient way of travelling, and I'd be inclined to cycle more if I work closer to home. I work in a fairly rural location, so a car is a must. I used to cycle to university, so I understand and appreciate the motive of cycling as a means of transport. Now, I've not read the rest of this email, but I think it's pretty clear he's about to go two-footed on cyclists, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the equivalent of I'm not a racist, but, essentially, right? Now, I'm usually a sweet, sweet soul, so laid back, I'm practically horizontal. However, I can't help but get completely enraged when I'm stuck behind a cyclist, cruising quite leisurely along the road, holding us all up while they're on a jolly, especially when there are pristine, designated cycle lanes on the other side of the curb. Genuinely, they're in better nick than the roads on account of the fact that nobody bloody uses them. And I know this for a fact because they're the same ones I used to coast on going to and from uni. I never came across another soul on them in all 3 years. I've sort of added a bit of stank to that.
Yeah, I know. You really stank this up.
Don't get me wrong. If the cyclist is grafting, it's not so bad. At least they're making an effort to keep a good pace. It's the ones who show no willing to pedal the bike they're so intent on exercising on and plod along in their lycra going 5 miles per hour on the flat, completely okay with the fact there's not enough room to safely overtake them. Is my frustration justified or do I need to sort my life out? Thanks a lot, Tom.
Way T-Dog. Way to go. It's hard not to agree with you. I think you can't really throw all cyclists into the same pot. I think that the ones who ride like a sort of peloton or whatever they call it, and they ride that you're talking about, Tom, and they're just leisurely going on a Sunday pace on a weekday, they are abhorrent there. And often, they're not for me, those people. And even if you shout out the window and swear at them, that's when they get, they'll really put a little bit of stank into their legs and they'll try and catch
up. Oh, wow. What absolute, oh God, that's really, honestly, God. So you'll roll down the window and you swear at them and stuff and they react badly. Fucking hell, they really are pieces of shit, aren't they?
No, I mean, I guess you like them, right? Where are you?
Why do you say that?
Well, because you're sticking up for them.
Sticking up for them. You just said, I'll tell you when they get really bad, when you roll down your window
them. This
stuff.
Is where you're stuck behind them, you can't overtake them, and they're all like riding peloton, they're all chatting amongst themselves, and they're on a country road, and then you're like, right, then you do go past them, and then you're like, fucking wankers or something.
Yeah, sure.
And then,
They're totally in the wrong there, I get that.
Well, I mean, where do you stand on them? Are you a cyclist kind of guy? Have you got a bike?
Well, I don't have a bike, I very rarely use it, to be honest. Yeah, but I do have a bike. What are you being like that for?
No, I'm just saying.
No, you've done the, I feel like putting the boot in face you've done there.
No, I haven't. No, look, my father loves cycling, but he goes out and he smashes the arse out of it. I think if you're going out and you're cycling, it's like running. Certain people go out running, I think you might as well walk, mate. Like, it's going to do more harm than good. Yeah, and I do think that with certain people cycling, I think if they're going really slowly and it's just more of a social, just have a little walk down the park. Go to the pub.
No, you're absolutely right.
What's your belief? Where do you sit in this?
It just depends on how I'm feeling, to be honest with you. Like, sometimes I see a cyclist, I'm completely indifferent. I think, you know, it's a nice way to travel around, getting a bit of exercise. And other times I get stuck behind someone, I'm on my way to something, you know, like when you're in a rush or whatever, and you do hate them and wish that cycling was made illegal. But I just think that's less down to the cyclist and it's down to what your frame of mind is, isn't it? Because, yeah, like, whether you like it or not, we are hardwired to be selfish. If you're a cyclist and that's how you get about, you think all drivers are arseholes and vice versa. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Sometimes cyclists piss me off. I do also know, the impression I do have about them is that they're really fucking militant. Like what I mean by that is, we're probably going to get some emails from them. Like, you know, they're pretty strong-minded, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah, and I respect that about them. You know, one thing I respect about them, actually, is no matter who they are, they literally all wear Lycra. The confidence of them, I actually respect massively.
Yeah.
Like, they will literally bust a little bit, like, even if they're in the worst shape you can imagine, they'll bust a bit of Lycra. Yeah. For their hobby, for their love. And that I respect massively.
Me too. I actually think it's actually a form of body pride and acceptance that I really think we need more of in this world.
Yeah. You know? I've worn Lycra. It feels great. I wouldn't wear it out.
So what, you just worn it around the house?
No, I've worn it when we've done League of Your Own. We've done activities.
Oh, right. I see. So, yeah. Right.
Yeah. I put a pair of Lycra shorts on. I thought, these are nice. I'd never wear them. I'd never have the confidence to wear cycling wear out again.
Not cycling, are you?
No.
So in what context would somebody, regardless of their confidence, want to wear that kind of Lycra out and about?
Well, no, because it just, you feel all sort of stacked and feel nice in it. It does.
I'm sorry, I don't give a shit how ripped a bloke is. If I just see him walking around in Lycra in the same way that somebody might wear a tracksuit, that's unacceptable, isn't it?
No, I don't know. I just think if you're happy and you know it, just fucking own it.
Clap your buns and a set of Lycra.
Go for it, man. Okay. You can do, yeah.
I guess in answer to your question, Tom, your frustration could be justified. You don't need to sort your life out. I just think it depends on the circumstances.
I also think, Tom, that, you know what? Sometimes in life, just let it out, bro. Just let it out.
What does that mean?
Well, he's done it now. He's let it out. He's done an email. He's let it out. And I just think, good for you, man. He's probably found this whole thing quite cathartic.
So your advice to the guy writing the email is write an email.
No. I just like, you've done it now and you probably feel a bit better. You know what I always think is quite good is when you drive past a cyclist, just look at them and think, the fucking joke's on you, mate.
Okay. It's one of the worst bits of advice I've ever heard you say, but okay. Time for one more, Tommy?
Yeah, let's do one more, baby.
This is from Danny.
Yeah.
He says, Dear Wolf, Owl and Swan, first of all, I want to thank you for the podcast. It's genuinely been something that's got me and my wife through the tough times of lockdown. And I know a lot of people agree. Now, what I'm emailing for is of getting something, literally anything, signed by both the Wolf and the Owl. This is a gift to my wife, just because she's pretty fucking awesome. I'll add my address at the end of this email. I'm not going to read it out. In assumption that you sweet souls will do this. If, however, you do not worry. We'll still love you both. Now is a story to hopefully earn the scribbles from you both. What would you have done in this situation? I work in a boarding kennels. This is for dogs and cats to stay while their owners are on holiday. People who haven't yet left their pet can come and look around to see if they like it. So one day a family came to look around. A warm day meant the woman had a vest up on. You would assume support underneath, but no. She also had a kid who was probably about 1 to 1.5. She carried this child around as I explained what our routine is, etc. Halfway around the viewing of the kennels, the child she was carrying pulled the mum's t-shirt down and so a titty popped out. It then sat there for the... It then sat there for the rest of the viewing. Neither her, somehow didn't feel a breeze, or her husband realised.
Jeez.
What would you have done in this situation? Stop the conversation midway and tell her, how do you tell someone their tit is hanging out? Jeez. Would love to hear what you would do. Danny, first of all, let me tell you this for nothing, brother. You are getting a signed thing.
Yeah, we'll
get that for nothing. That's
signed
a great
vest top. I would. I'd tell them, mate.
How would you say it?
I just think I'd just go like this, and then just gesture. towards it.
You'd go what?
I'd and just gesture towards it.
Like in the same way if they've got like a bit of ketchup on their face.
Yeah. Whatever. I mean, I have no respect for people who... I've been out with a bogey hanging out my nose and no one's told me, or a bit of fucking mayonnaise on my cheek and no one's told me. And it's the fucking worst thing. Because you're just like, one person I'm with just go, mate, you... Actually, Rom, you're very good at doing that to people. You will tell people.
When have you seen me tell people?
You've done it to me.
When did I? What did I say?
I had something on my mouth once and you went, right.
I don't think that's the same as a woman's titty hanging out.
Yeah, but what I'm saying to you is it's a lot more fucking... She'll feel it. Everyone will be embarrassing for a minute for everyone because you've seen what's happened. She's not pulled it out herself or, you know, the situation is how it's happened. These are a complete accident. But the actual fact of, like, for everyone involved, if she then gets into the car with her husband and her son and then turns around and goes, oh, shit, fucking hell, my titty's hanging out. And then how long has that been there? And they're going, well, why didn't he say anything?
Well, this is the thing that I would say, because the counter argument to that is, how long's that been out there? You can kid yourself or try and sort of make yourself feel like this must have, maybe this just happened as I got into the car, right? Whereas if you say, by the way, I'm playing devil's advocate.
Yeah.
Right? If you say one of your boobies is showing, right? Then they know that you've seen. Whereas, like, if you don't say anything, they get in the car and then the husband goes, oh my God, one of your tits is out. Either it happened as they got into the car or it's been out and nobody noticed. Well,
but also the fact that at any one time, a husband can look around and see it and then see that you've seen it. Like, it's not like they're halfway through the tour, he says, right?
Yeah.
It's not the end of the tour. So at any point, it's like they can walk along and, like, fucking husband clocks it and then clocks that you're talking to them. I think this, cover your eyes and say, excuse me, your boob's hanging out.
Yeah, or just go, oh my God, just really sort of...
Or turn your back and just go, I think you need to...
I'm going to, for the rest of the tour, I'm going to have my back to you.
Yeah, readdress the situation.
Mm.
Or just say, can I have a word with you, sir? And then just put him to one side and say, your wife's titties hanging out.
Okay, what an insane thing. like she's livestock?
No, but then you haven't
got... Tell the woman herself.
Yeah, but then I'm just saying that that's a medium there. You can break down the sort of embarrassment of having to say it yourself. Because then the husband can turn around and say
it. And the woman goes, oh, that, I'm so glad that could have been embarrassing. But instead, they've gone over there to have a private conversation about how my titty's hanging out.
I'm just saying, because it's going to be better coming from a husband than you. If you go, Mr. Dawson, if you just come over here, there's something that I want to show you. And then you take
So basically you go, Mr. Dawson, there's something I need to talk to you about. Something I want to show you that I can't show you, madam, for some reason.
No, say you can't come near here because you've got the kid with you.
And then she goes, I wonder what they're talking about. And then her husband comes back and goes, by the way, one of your tits is hanging out.
No, you just say to him, look, one of your wife's tits is hanging out. Like, just tell her in a minute. Don't tell her right away.
Tell her in a minute.
Yeah. So then he goes back and says to her, oh, yeah.
And then the two of you, and then he, knowing that you know her titty's hanging out, have to spend another minute walking around as if that situation's not happened.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, obviously, I've not thought it, but that's a good way for me. Yeah. You know, okay. If he said, oh, come in this room, Mr. Dawson, you go in the room and go, no, this is really embarrassing for everyone involved. Yeah. Mrs. Dawson's titty's hanging out. If you go and tell her, I'll hang around in this room.
Okay. Look, from my point of view, I wouldn't say anything.
That's you wouldn't say anything?
No, I don't think I would.
So what about if...
I'm not saying it's right. I just think it's too difficult to broach that topic.
I think I've given him two versions there. Where, I mean, it'd be interesting to see, think what the consumers think of this.
Yeah, please email in wolfowlpod@gmail.com to let us know.
Yeah.
That's about it from us. I would describe this as quite a sedate one. We've done it in the evening. Tom and I are still recovering from Friday's hangover that was,
And the sort of morose performance of England.
Okay, Tom.
Right.
Can you do us the honour of taking us out?
Life is kind of like a beach full of pebbles and little bits of sand intertwined in it with seaweed and sea that laps upon the pebbles and bits of sand and such. And every now and again, people turn up and they will enjoy themselves there. They'll they'll have the most incredible day. The beach, however, is always there. It doesn't really realise that how amazing its day is. And people will often take a pebble from the beach and take it home, so they will remember how incredible their day has been at the beach. So every time they look at the pebble, they think, oh, that's the day we went to the beach and we had this amazing day. Little do they ever think of the pebble and where it's come from. And actually, its place in the world might have been on that beach. What I'm trying to say is we all have a place in the world. Some of us are on the beach and some of us are on country lanes and some of us are in cities. And remember where you come from and who you are. That might well be the worst one of these I've ever done. Genuinely. Usually I've got a little incentive of something, that a spark in my head of what actually I'm going to say. This time I have nothing.
Do you want to try again?
I haven't got anything.
Why don't I give you I could give you a setup. Maybe you could try that.
I don't know. You know when your brain is...
Why don't I give you the first sentence? You know, in many ways,
go on.
Life can be like a slightly undercooked sausage that's a little bit burnt on the outside.
The truth of the matter is, we'd eat it anyway. But if you've got a little bit of patience, you'll stand by the barbecue and you'll let those embers just die down just enough so the fire is rippling away and there's just this golden glow of coal and charcoal. And you will let that sausage brown side upon side, and the middle will be cooked, and it'll be perfect. The point of the matter is, sometimes it's not worth rushing stuff, because you'll only get food poisoning and diarrhea and a pretty shit sausage that will fill your teeth full of burnt charcoal meat. It's worth waiting for that a little bit longer and seeing how glorious something can be. Stand by the fire, let it become embers, and enjoy. Enjoy the splendor. There we go.
That was good.
That felt okay. That felt okay. Yeah.
That felt good.
If I'm honest with you, that was the first time we've had to tag team one of these.
Yeah. And yeah. I think it worked out. In many ways, your first attempt at it was the undercooked sausage burnt outside. Then you stood by the barbecue a little bit longer.
Yeah.
You allowed a friend to come over with a set of tongs.
Yeah.
And sort of turn it for you a little
bit. I mean, in all fairness, you probably pulled the sausage out and put it on the barbecue. And I said, I think I've got this now. Mm. I think I've got this.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. Yeah. Thank you, my friend.
No problem. Well, listen, guys, thank you. So I hope you've enjoyed us for what I would describe a slightly more relaxed edition of the Wolf for now. We like to mix up the pace.
Yeah.
We like to mix up the face of what we do. To deliver to you what we hope is an enriching and rewarding experience. Take care of yourselves.
And each other.
Remember that life is fleeting, but your heart keeps beating. And for that, we should be forever grateful. Or at least until it stops and you die. Take care from the wolf and the owl.
Goodbye.
If you have a problem, opinion, feedback, or anything at all, please email us at wolfowlpod@gmail.com. That's wolfowlpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, mainly because we don't have any content ideas. Thank you.